Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. The Lord Jesus Christ has magnificent plans for the future of his believers. The apostles were pretty upset when Jesus told them of the events that were going to take place beginning the next day, which included his betrayal by Judas Iscariot, Peter's denial that he even knew Christ, Satan's attacks on all of them to sift them like wheat, and the Lord's crucifixion. He sought to calm them in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. He said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God the Father. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. And if it were not so, but it is, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, and I do, I will come again and receive you to myself," and that's at the exit resurrection of the church, "that where I am, there you may be also." John 14, 4, "And you know the way to get where I am going." The Lord was telling them that they had heard the gospel message and that they knew the key to salvation. But Thomas, the doubting one, was always checking to be accurate. John 14, 5, Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way?" John 14, 6, Jesus said to doubting Thomas, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the resurrection life, and no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me." So welcome to our monthly celebration of the Lord's Supper. It's the time when we remember our God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice on our behalf that gave us a so great salvation. It's a time for us to express our gratitude for all that he has done for us in the past, for all that he is doing for us now, and for all that he has already put in place for our future. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not to take lightly that thing which was paid for at so high a cost. Our sins were paid for by the shed blood of Christ, and it is a pleasure for us to honor the Son of the living God daily, especially during our Lord's Supper celebration, for making the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. Job chapter 19, verse 25. Job says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the last he will take his stand on the earth." Well, we have a bright future, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to a place where you can learn about it. The opening song for this lesson, "Jesus, the One and Only" by Babby Mason. Thank you. Let us pray. Well, grateful Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God, thank you for your unconditional love for us, a love that is so strong that you allowed your only Son to die on a cross so that we would have hope for all eternity, the hope of the resurrection life. And now as we partake of the bread of life and as we drink of the fruit of the vine, we pray that we do so in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to you. Help us to remember Christ and to be grateful for all the blessings he has given us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, the Lord Jesus Christ creates the future. The Lord Jesus Christ creates the future. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we look back to the past. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to the sovereignty of sin and live to the standard of righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." As a result of the cross, we are dead to sin and dead to the law. And when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we enjoy the present. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith," faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, that is, "we have peace with God the Father right now through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ." For believers in Christ, God has nothing against us. Yet what impresses us most about our God is that he knows the future because he creates it. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 says, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, and what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." And isn't it great that we're part of his life so that we can enjoy watching him do all that he pleases, which includes a very great future for us? Well, today we celebrate our future, the one he created for us as believers in Christ in eternity past, long before the foundation of the world. So before we do, let's pause for a moment to take the offering. In a moment, we're going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering. And we want you to know that we appreciate your gifts. And because the Lord provides you with a way to be generous, you get a chance to give of your treasure so that others can benefit. And there is no greater expression of the unconditional love of God than giving. And we appreciate the sacrifice you make to keep the doors of Barah Ministry open, making available a place where people can hear the Word of God taught free of charge. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. We are sanctioned by God to charge for anything we provide so you can worship God. By the way, help yourself to Bibles, to music, to books, to pamphlets, to anything that would help you or a friend or a family member learn about God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, "The elders, pastors who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, compensation, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, "For Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing." And the Scripture says, "The laborer is worthy of his wages." That's kind of harsh calling the pastor an ox, but I mean, I guess that's really what it is. It's a lot of hard work. So we choose not to charge for things we provide so as to reflect God's grace, not as a matter of benevolence. Therefore, no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate your much-needed financial support so we can continue to share the Word of God with the hearers God provides. Please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And as we study Romans, I've been thinking about the flesh and self. And as Pastor said in the beginning, he wants to punch James when he gets to heaven first. Well, I'd like to punch self. I'd like to punch the flesh right now, right where we stand, because it's always tearing us down, and it's always pulling us back. It's always pulling us into the past. And I was thinking about, even in my own life, I always revert back to high school football, high school baseball, the good times. You know, the time I hit a home run and the first pitch, first swing of the game. And, you know, that was 20 years ago. Why am I talking about those stories? It was so long ago. Yeah, sure, it was fun, but that was the past. And that's not me being renewed now. And, you know, look at it. You've got high school reunions. Everybody has one. Everybody has it every couple years. You go back, you revert to old self, you talk about these old stories. You get pulled back into this glory days, you know, where we're not the same. We were younger, we were stronger, everything was easier then, and we want to keep going back there, and we want to avoid birthdays. And look at birthdays, we have one every year. You can't even ask a woman her age without getting mad at you. That's not socially acceptable. You know, look what we do at our birthdays. We hate growing older. We hate getting older. You just despise a birthday. You get, I think it's 21 from then on, you're just kind of like, meh, birthdays, whatever, you know. Either there's nothing to look forward to or presents, and you're thinking about the glory days. And that's kind of like how Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is. And do not be conformed to this world, the flesh, self, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through daily Bible study and coming to church on Sundays, so that you may prove what the will of God is through obedience, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Through God, which is acceptable and perfect. You see, we don't need to go back to the glory days, because the glory days are now. As we're being renewed, the newest part of our soul is today. And you see, Pastor brought up the statue in Rio again, and it hit me again today that, you know, as you stand and look at the statue, you see God as this perfect idol that you can never attain, and you squash self. You think, oh, I can never do that. I can never be perfect. But when you get up behind the statue and you look through the eyes, you can't see self anymore. You see everybody else down below. You see that life isn't just about self. Life is about helping everyone around you on top of helping self. And so how do you help everyone? By renewing your soul, by coming to Bible study, and by supporting it. That's why the offering is here. It's an opportunity for you to worship God, but it's also an opportunity for you to reward those who have helping you worship God. And it's also motivation. It basically confirms that the knowledge you have in your soul is working, and that it means something to you by giving to your pastor and giving to this ministry. So thank you for your continued support, and remember to always just look through God's eyes. Thank you.
The Lord's Supper celebration is next. We're going to enjoy the elements in just a moment. And Deacon Denny, I want to thank you for another one of your always excellent offering messages, and I especially like the perspective that you shared about looking at the statue, the Jesus, the Redeemer statue, from this side, and you see this perspective of yourself being lesser than God and never able to live up to his standards, and then when you go behind his eyes, you don't see self anymore. I think that's the essence of what the Christian way of life is. It's not seeing self anymore. And I'm really sorry that you told the story, because I was looking forward to stealing it and not giving you any credit. But that's it. Yeah, and I feel like you sensed that. You said, no, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'm telling that story. So, but it's a good, just a tremendous perspective. And, you know, one that we should remember. So we're going to now enjoy the elements of the Lord's Supper. Following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person, and we drink to remember his work, which was the voluntary sacrifice he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute. And we're grateful for what God has done for us. I hope all of those of you in the non-resident congregation will join us in having elements at your disposal as you listen to this and enjoying the elements with us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say, I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. When we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that he is a person and that he is someone that we have a relationship with. Now, when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this, in the same way the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, and that cup represented his death on a cross, saying, this cup is a new testament, forged with my blood. Keep on doing the celebration, and as often as you drink it, do it for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So, as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. And now, as always, the Lord's Supper song reminds us to give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say,
that was enjoyable. The Lord's Supper celebration, the Lord Jesus Christ creates the future. I like that song. Da, 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 da. The only way. That was a little preview. So the Lord's Supper is rich in meaning. And that's why it's been a prominent part of Christianity throughout the centuries. But sometimes it is allowed to become a lifeless ritual, done more out of habit than out of meaning. And when a ritual loses the meaning, some people overreact by stopping the ritual entirely. But the better response is to restore the meaning. And that's why it's helpful for us to review exactly what we're symbolizing when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Today, we celebrate the established and irrevocable fact that by going to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was cementing our future, a very beautiful and very certain future. One future event that we look forward to as church age believers is the wedding feast of the Lamb. And when I say church age believers, I mean the believers who are believers between the time of the Lord's resurrection and ascension into heaven and the exit resurrection of the church. So between the two resurrections lies a time called the church age, and we are church age believers. And what symbolizes our being church age believers is Christ indwelling us, the hope of glory. We are the tabernacle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I met a young lady yesterday at the mall. Her name was Shekinah. And that's what Jesus Christ is called when he is resident in a tabernacle. He is the Shekinah glory. And I asked her if she knew what her name meant, and she rolled her eyes. It's like, wait a minute, don't be rolling your eyes. You're about to get smacked up in here. That is a very significant thing, that we as believers in Christ in this age have the Shekinah glory indwelling us. In the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory lived above the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies above the Ark of the Covenant. But now he lives in us. And so as church age believers, that is an absolute signature guarantee of certainty that we are saved and that we are a special group of believers. Moses longed for this day. Moses would have loved to be a church age believer. He was not. So we're celebrating the established and irrevocable fact that by going to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ cemented our future. And one of the future events is the wedding feast of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 10 say this: "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready." The Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb without spot or blemish who takes away the sins of the world. The bride, he is the groom, and the bride of the groom is the church age believer. So if you are a believer in Christ in this age, you are part of the body of Christ, which is the bride of Christ. And we will marry the groom at the wedding feast of the Lamb. That will be the formal wedding ceremony. But at the moment of salvation, you and the Lord Jesus Christ are placed into union by the baptism of God the Holy Spirit, a union that cannot be broken. And that's what a marriage is. A marriage is a union that cannot be broken. And so that's why God gave us marriage, to reinforce the idea that it should not be broken. Revelation 19:8. "It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen." That's the bride of Christ, the church age believer. It was given to church age believers to clothe themselves in fine linen, bright and clean. "For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." There's that holy life that God is inspiring us to. The righteous acts of the saints, of a holy life. Revelation 19:9. "Then the angel said to me, write, and me is John, who wrote the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos in Greece. Then the angel said to me, John, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God." Revelation 19:9. Then I fell at the angel's feet to worship him, but he said to me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God instead, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19, oh, I guess I combined those, huh? Yeah, I did. Okay, so there's 19:10. Good. All right, so John saw and heard the heavenly multitudes praising God because of the wedding feast of the Lamb. Literally, the marriage supper was about to begin. So the concept of the marriage supper is better understood in light of the wedding customs in the time of Christ. These wedding customs had three major parts. First, the parents of the bride and the groom signed a marriage contract, and the parents of the bridegroom and the bridegroom himself would pay a dowry to the bride or to her parents. This began what was called the betrothal period, what we would today call the engagement. This period was the one Joseph and Mary were in when she was found to be pregnant. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they had sexual relations, she was found to be pregnant with child by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Joseph also went up for the census from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, Luke 2:5, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and who was pregnant with child. All right, so that betrothal, that engagement, was the first step. And I was thinking as I was preparing this, can you imagine somebody giving a dowry for June? So, and it kind of reminded me of the time that I was in Bethlehem, and there was this lady in the group with us. She was a lawyer. She was about 30 years old, and she was just quite goofy. And she kept wanting to wander off down the dangerous places, and our guide, who was Jewish, would discourage us from going into the parts of Jerusalem which are dangerous and kept encouraging us to stay with him. But she was just kind of out of her mind and roaming all over the place. Well, when we got to Bethlehem, we went into a store, and the store owner was quite smitten with her, you know? And I was thinking of you, you know, like I put you in her place, and, you know, you go into the store. And so the girl's mother was there, and the store owner offered her 15 goats and 10 donkeys for her hand in marriage, right? And I was thinking that would be perfect dowry for June, 15 goats and 10 donkeys. So, you know, June, you have something to look forward to, because if you ever come to me and say, Pastor, I have fallen in love and I ought to get married, the first thing I ought to do is let me talk to this guy. I'm getting me some goats and some donkeys out of this. Can I get an amen? Might as well add a little personal touch to our Lord's Supper celebration. So the first step is betrothal, the engagement, where the bride, the groom, was required to pay a dowry. The second step in the wedding process in the days when Jesus was on the earth usually occurred a year later, when the bridegroom, accompanied by his male friends, went to the house of the bride at midnight, creating a torchlight parade through the streets. And the bride would know in advance that this was going to take place, so she would be ready with her maidens. And they would all join the parade and end up at the bridegroom's home. And this custom is the basis of the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Then the third phase of the wedding process was the marriage supper itself, which might go on for days, as illustrated by the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So what John's vision in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 to 10 pictures is the wedding feast of the Lamb, Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, in its third phase. And the implication is the first two phases will have already taken place. The first phase was completed on earth when each individual believer professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The dowry paid to the bridegroom's parent, God the Father, by the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the blood of Christ that was shed on behalf of the bride. The church on earth today, then, is betrothed to Christ. And like the wise virgins in the parable, all believers should be watching and waiting for the appearance of the bridegroom, his second coming. The second phase symbolizes the exit resurrection of the church when Christ comes to claim his bride and to take her to God the Father's house. And then the marriage supper then follows as the third and final step. The marriage supper of the Lamb takes place in heaven between the exit resurrection of the church and the second coming of Christ, while the tribulation period occurs here on earth. Now, attending the wedding feast will be not only the church as the bride of Christ, but others as well. And the others include the Old Testament saints, who will not have been resurrected yet, but their souls and spirit will be in heaven with us. And as the angel told John to write in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb is a glorious celebration for all who are in union with Christ. The Old Testament believers will be there too. We'll get to meet Moses and Job and David and Daniel. I'm not talking to him. He's so perfect. But all the people of the Old Testament, we'll get to meet them there too. Now, we may not know everything the Lord has planned for our future, but we do know this. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You see, I think Deacon Denny, in the offering message, hit it right on the button, right? So we're always looking over our shoulder, thinking about the time when we're in high school and the home run we hit and all those things being the cool things of our lives. And don't be mistaken, they were cool. But the best is yet to come for us believers in Christ. He always saves the best for last, and the best is yet to come for us. And the certainty of our glorification, the certainty of our glory, is absolutely true because God is creating our future. The Lord Jesus Christ is creating our future, and he has great plans for us. And I was thinking, you know, if I get cancer, you know, one day I might get cancer, right? You know, and if I do, I'm going to laugh at cancer. You know why? Because cancer is going to devour my flesh. And I think that's exactly what the flesh deserves. I think the flesh deserves to be devoured. And I'm not going to worry at all about what is happening to the flesh. It may hurt and all the things that go along with it. It's a hassle. But it's not going to touch my mind. It's not going to touch my soul. It's not going to touch my spirit. It's not going to touch my heart. It's not going to change my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, except perhaps to make it stronger. And so, you know, when we think about our future, a lot of times we get a little morbid about it and we think, oh man, I'm going to die. And what's that going to be like when I'm not here anymore? And I'll just tell you what it's like when you're not here anymore. Glorious. It's glorious. We're all going to be celebrating. And you're going to be saying, you know, can you believe that, you know, June was thinking about she was going to get married after she was 60 years old? And can you believe that she was going to get, you know, 10 donkeys and 15 goats? Can you even believe that? You know, we'd be laughing. She sang good, didn't she? But we don't need her. We got our CDs. That's not what we're going to be saying at all, June. We're going to miss you badly. So stick around. But I think you know what I mean. I mean, you know, when I'm gone, you guys will be thinking, oh, that's awesome. Kenny Rankin, Cinnabons, and the Arizona Republic every Sunday. I don't have to listen to that guy anymore. But we have a fan. Huh? You do. That's all right. We got him on video. We just play those over and over. He was pretty good. So God has an amazing future plan for us. And in that future, we'll have some ups and downs. And we'll have some sideways and backwards, but it's going to be good. And our past is not what's strong. I was thinking as you were giving your offering speech, Deacon Denny, that in 2016, I'll be celebrating the 40th reunion of my class at Northwestern. And then in 2017, the 45th reunion of the class at St. Ignatius High School in Chicago. So when I go back at Northwestern, you know, I liked a lot of people at Northwestern. When I go back to my high school, I didn't like a lot of people there. So I'll be going back to have all the racists not shake my hand again like they did at the 35th reunion. It's like, okay, whatever. But it's just good to kind of, you know, by the 45th and 40th and 45th reunion, you're just so glad to be alive and be at it that you aren't thinking about all that petty stuff. That's what I would hope would be happening, right? But, you know, where did the time go? How did it happen that 4 decades ago I graduated from college and 4.5 decades ago I graduated from high school? How did that happen? Where did the time go? Yet clearly that was not the best time of my life. The best time of my life has not happened yet. The best time of your life has not happened yet. We have a lot to look forward to, and that's what we celebrate at this Lord's Supper, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, even before he created us, had created this magnificent future for us, and that what he expects to show us is how wonderful he is in every single thing that we do. So, bottom line is, we have a lot to look forward to. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel message, for the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Psalm 62:1, my soul waits in silence for the Lord only. From him is my salvation. Acts 2:21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, why is that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of. But the Lord is patient toward you, toward all mankind, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to a repentance, that is, a change of mind about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Closing song, there's just one hope.
Confusing, there's chaos everywhere, full of deception, darkness and great despair. You can be free from its power, there's no doubt. God's word reveals the one and only way out. There's just one hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope. There's just one faith, one so great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven. It's Jesus, through God the Son, Jesus. He is the way, the only. Christ paid for all sins with his death on the cross, was resurrected, so no one need be lost. His work is finished, there's nothing you need do except believing in what he's done for you. There's just one hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven, one hope. There's just one faith, one so great salvation. Father's way to get to heaven is Jesus, through God the Son, Jesus. He is the way, the only way. God wants none to perish. He loves the world so that whosoever can reach it or accept be eternally his own. There's just one hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven. One hope, there's just one faith, one so great salvation, the Father's way to get to heaven. One hope, there's just one faith, just one baptism, one Lord, one way to get to heaven. It's Jesus, through God the Son, Jesus. He is the way.
That says it all, doesn't it? Just one hope, just one way. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for sending Jesus, and thank you for the fact that he has established for us a future. And thanks for helping us to have the gift of faith that allowed us to respond to the gospel message. Thanks for shaping our hearts, and thanks for the resurrection life that you've put in place for us. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of you. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.